From up in the nosebleeds to down to the 50-yard line, wherever you watch the game, this is the place to sound off. Sports Talk with Jock on 770 CHQR.
Well, as you probably know, sports fans, the Canada Sports Hall of Fame announced 11 new members earlier today. And there's some big names here. Steve Nash, Laurie Kane, Eric Lamaze, Builder Sheldon Kennedy, Willie O'Ree. And let's not forget our good friend Diane Jones-Konohowski, a two-time Olympian. Of course, twice a champion at the Pan Am Games, once a champion at the Commonwealth Games. And Diane Jones-Konohowski, who was born in Vancouver, raised in Saskatoon, lives right here in Calgary. She joins us tonight on Sports Talk with Jock. Hey, Diane, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Jock, and thanks for pronouncing Konohowski right.
Well, we are the football station, so I should get that one right, hopefully.
Yeah, and not calling me a former Olympian, because I think once you're an Olympian, you're always an Olympian, right?
I agree.
Actually, I was named to three Olympic teams. I was named to Moscow, right. Even though we did not send a team because of the boycott.
No, I do want to get into that right. I do want to get into that a little bit later on, because of course the world we're living in right now because of COVID. I fear for our Olympic athletes. But hey, we'll save that for a little bit later. What does it mean to you? Because you're a member of the Order of Canada. You've been named to the Canadian Olympic Hall of Fame, the Saskatchewan Sports Hall of Fame, the Alberta Sports Hall of Fame, now Canada's Sports Hall of Fame. What does it mean to you, Diane?
Oh, truly, yeah, I'm truly honored and I'm really humbled. Very surprised when I got the call, Jock, actually, because it's such a tough hall to get into. It really is. And I sat on the selection committee for many, many, many years. And I know how difficult it is just to get nominated and then to get chosen. And I remember one of our many challenges was to not forget about the athletes and the builders from the earlier decades, right? And mm-hmm. to go back to the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s and really pull out some names and look at their performances and really try to sort of compare them to the performances that were more recent. And we always felt really good about, you know, pulling out a couple of athletes and builders from that era, because we're never going to get caught up, you know, if we don't go back to those ones. So honored, humbled, surprised, and love being inducted with the other inductees.
Oh, it's a great class, without a doubt. I got to ask you this: for the people that maybe don't remember you as the athlete, you were a pentathlete, so you know hurdles, high jump, shot put, long jump, middle distance running. Where were your strengths, Diane? What were you? You're good at everything, but what were you excelling at back in the day?
Oh, you did your homework. I'm very impressed. Well, my event, the pentathlon, is five events, but it changed over the course of the Olympics. In 72 and in 76, it was a two-day event, which was always really brutal because it didn't matter how fit you were. You were always stiff the next day, having to come out to the track and just do two events, right? So by the time, shortly after 76, right after 76, actually, it became a one day, which was really awesome. And the 200 meters, which was the sprint, the final sprint of the 2 days, became the 800 meters, which was really good for me because I was not born with any fast muscle. That's why I married a Ukrainian. Poor John. He was injured when I caught him. I was a world-class pentathlete, but I was also internationally ranked in high jump, long jump, and shot put as well. Okay. So there were often meets where I would go in the pentathlon plus one or two or three of those other events as well. So those always helped me gain the big points within the pentathlon itself.
Right. That must have been a challenge when you're trying to focus on say the pentathlon and then, you know, have to do, you know, two or three other events as well. Like, wow, talk about multi-purpose.
Yeah, but I like keeping busy and, you know, you train for it and you can do it. And really, for me, the focus was really on the pentathlon. That's where my goals were, you know, to perform very well there. And the other ones were just kind of fun to go into and however it came out. at the end of the day, I was quite happy just to be a participant, actually.
Since you referenced it, you know, a three-time Olympian, because you were named to three teams, and you were trending in the right direction. You were 10th in 1972. You were 6th in 1976. And your best chance to hit the podium was 1980. And, of course, those were the boycotted games. As an athlete, take me back to that time. And how tough was that for you as an athlete?
Well, it was really tough, obviously, because I just come off a fairly disappointing performance in Montreal, Jock. I had moved to California to train for our winter, but I ended up coming to Canada every 2 weeks to promote the games. I was the coin girl. And by the time I got to Montreal, I just had nothing left. And I really realized that, you know, I was really mad at myself because it was really, really realistic for me to have won a medal at those games. And I didn't. I came home with, you know, a sixth place, which is decent. So I learned from that experience, knowing that 2 years later in Edmonton, where John and I were living, would be another pressure situation. Hometown girl, you know, competing on Canadian soil, lots of pressure to compete well. So Edmonton, I had a wonderful games, perfect games, actually. I came out winning the gold medal, but more importantly, I ended up the day with a score that put me number one in the world. And that really confirmed to me that we were doing things right, and that 2 years later, in Moscow, I did have a realistic chance to get on the podium. So still not trusting myself, my family and I and my coach's family, we all moved down to New Zealand for the winter. And we watched as Jimmy Carter announced a summer boycott of the games, right? And we saw the athletes at the White House in early March. And I said to John, oh, I just can't even imagine what they're feeling like. Well, April 23rd or 24th, we're heading out the door, and I get the call from, I believe it was Corey Elliott from CFRR in Edmonton, and he said, what do you think about the decision? I said, what decision? And he said, well, Canada just announced that they're boycotting the game.
No.
Well, I wasn't at home. I wasn't being brainwashed by the media, what was being written and said. And so I spoke out against boycott and pretty much got raked over the coals. A lot of hate mail. You know, the Edmonton Eskimos really suffered terribly, but Coach Campbell stood up for me, and, you know, John got a lot of it on the field as well, which was really interesting to me because Canadians usually are pretty, you know, they get mad, but they don't get that mad. But
right.
I had death threats. I had a lot of hate mail. You know, John got it on the football field as well. And I did have an opportunity to go, Jock. Abby Hoffman, who was the CEO of Sport Canada at that time, phoned me in mid-June and said, the Russian organizing committee has invited you to the games.
Mm.
I go, what? She said, yeah. And because it was important for them to have some athletes there,
right.
You know. And so I said, oh, I'll have to get back to you. But I had to turn it down. It was really not a great time.
Oh, could you imagine the backlash if you would have gone? You know, considering.
Well, I don't know that I would have got out of the country alive.
Yeah, really. No.
But it was a really interesting time in Canada. As you say, Canadians usually don't get that riled. But and so, you know, I had to turn it down. And you know, 5 years later, I was thinking, God, I wish I would have had the courage to go. I believe it would have been the first time, and I don't think I would have been the only athlete invited. I think there were obviously others, and mm-hmm. It would have been the first time in the history of the Olympics, I believe, that athletes would have been there, you know, without a country, without a flag type of thing. But I have regrets about not having the courage at that time to just go and do it, but I didn't because it was a real hot situation in Canada. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, after the games, I beat the three Russian medalists. And, of course, they were off their drugs at the time. They didn't look that good. But, you know, and we don't really know what their performances were like, if they were really true performances. We have no idea. They were pretty closed mm-hmm. games, right?
Right.
So. But I still stand firm. I believe it was very wrong. Jimmy Carter, I've always believed, could have made a stronger statement against Russia by not allowing that country to their games in Lake Placid in February.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he waited to announce a summer boycott after his games were finished, but I, to this day, really believe that it would have hurt Russia more by not allowing them to come to Lake Placid in 1980. But c'est la vie, it's happened, and it's part of history. And it was. At the end of the day, Jock, it's not really about the hardware. It's about the journey and your performances. And athletes know very quickly that you can do your best performance on the day, break a Canadian record, a Commonwealth record, and still not get to the podium. You know, you're right. There's no guarantee. And Olympic athletes learn that very quickly. So, you go to those games, you just do the best that you can. And, you hope the heck you can get on the podium type of thing. So
this is why I love talking to you, because, you're so honest. You're so open. And Diane Jones-Konohowski is a special guest here on Sports Talk with Jock, named to the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame earlier today. Speaking of today's athlete, and this is a concern, I had a great chat with Kyle Schufelt last week on this program. And we were talking about how we both believe that Alberta Health has misclassified sport, recreation, and fitness. I fear for our high-performance athletes right now in Canada, because you've got high-performance athletes training in the U.S., in Belgium, in China, in Russia, all over the world, and our athletes aren't allowed back into their facilities yet. I'm just curious, your perspective on this. Do you agree with Kyle? Not only is it great for our recreational kids to get back into the gym, because I think that's important for their mental health, but boy, our athletes are going to be so far behind. And I do believe a lot of sport organizations right now have a return to play policy that is very safe and can follow the guidelines. So where does Diane Jones stand in on this one?
Well, I saw a video last week, I think it was Bill Maher, and he said, we can't sanitize our world.
No.
We are surrounded by flu bugs and germs, and we can do the physical distancing and we can wash our hands with soap and water, and you can you can take all the precautions that you want, but it's really a health issue. I mean, we have to all be healthy, and we should be encouraging people to be healthy, to eat healthy, to build this immunity and to fight this virus. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. I'm no expert on this, but this is a health issue, and we need people to get back to being active. And, Kyle, I feel for Carol. Kyle, he's got a huge facility there, wonderful facility, and I'm sure he can make it happen in terms of, allowing a certain number of athletes to come in and do their, their practice and that sort of thing and make it right. So, it's really a tough call, but our athletes for sure are losing out big time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because we've already seen, the 2020 Olympics, canceled for this summer. 2021 is still not a slam dunk, depending if they don't have a vaccine, because I believe the Prime Minister of Japan said that yesterday, says there's still a dark cloud. Could you see a situation, and I was talking to Jacques Thibault, my good friend, last night about this. He says he's still convinced you could see the summer and the winter Olympics happen in the same year, like it used to back in the day. So he actually is convinced now that these games will probably be held in 2022.
Well, why not?
Why not? Exactly.
Anything's possible. And I would really feel badly for Japan, in Tokyo, to have them canceled. But you hear the CEO of the organizing committee, he's even saying, he doesn't really believe that it's going to happen next year. I mean, you've got a city of, 10 million. You've got all these millions of people coming. It's just not going to happen, And for all of us who are sitting here, we don't know what the future holds. We know it's going to be different, right? We don't know what it's going to look like. We just know it's going to be different. And why not? Why not put it in the same year as the Winter Olympics?
Absolutely.
I think that would be good. And that would give some fairness to our athletes to be able to get back into their training, right, and to get back on track. It may, by delaying it, Jock, 2 years, those athletes were just at the cusp of retiring, and this was going to be their last,
hurrah,
chance at it. Yeah, it's going to be difficult because 2 years is a long time to hang on, and those athletes are not there just to make another Olympic team. They want to perform at a very high level. So to hang on for even another year, another 2 years, it's it makes it very difficult on the athletes.
Diane, I'm out of time. I could chat with you for another hour here on Sports Talk with Jock. But unfortunately, we do have time constraints. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks so much for the interview. And again, congratulations on being named Canada Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, thanks, Jock. It was nice chatting with you, and hopefully we can do it again.
We certainly will. Diane Jones-Konohowski, she gets the call to the hall today, Canada's Sports Hall of Fame. Hey, a quick shout-out to our friends at Eagle Lake Professional Landscape, our hero of the month for the month of May. Calgary Children's Foundation helps kids in need throughout the year with support because of heroes like Eagle Lake. What you do is you order your big yellow bag of premium garden soil from Eagle Lake, knowing you're helping needy Calgary kids. The NHL, they're talking about a return to play. They're heading into phase two. Phase three will be training camps. Phase four will be games themselves in hub cities. We talked a little bit about this last night. Well, the Calgary Flames, led by general manager Brad Treliving, head coach Jeff Ward, and the captain, Mark Giordano, held a Zoom conference call today. We're going to play some of the highlights of that when we come back and wrap things up on Sports Talk with Jock.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.